ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यं एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। So last time we started from Bhakti Visheshata, which was verse number 10. In that, in verse 10, Guruji says that for doing karma or jnana, special qualifications are required. But in bhakti, there is no special qualifications required because we already have the capital of love. So we love our family or whatever objects, but most, we may say, oh no, I have no family and I don't love anything, but I do love myself. That's for sure. Like, so that love is there. What has to be done is to be redirected. So it's like a rich man's son wanting to start business. The money, the capital is already there. He doesn't have to worry. So bhakti is like that. The capital is already there. But for karma and jnana, some prerequisites are required. The person has to qualify. And then Guruji goes on to tell us that there have been even animals. Through animal bodies, they have realize the self. However, we must remember that that doesn't mean that, you know, we can do whatever we want and who cares, I'll come in an animal body and get liberated. No, it doesn't work like that. They have done things in their previous births, because of which, for some one small mistake, they came into a crow body. I don't know if I told you the story about Kagbhushundi. Kagbhushundi in Ramayana, he was a great Shiva devotee in his previous life, in his previous birth. But what happens is he was so devoted, he got arrogant of his devotion. Like, I am the greatest devotee of Lord Shiva. And one day when he was praying in the temple to Lord Shiva, his guru walked in and he completely ignored the guru. In his arrogance that I am so devoted to Lord Shiva, he ignored the guru. And what happened was Lord Shiva got really mad at him and cursed him. That, you know, you have the audacity to ignore your guru who has introduced you to me, who has introduced me to you. And so he curses him. He curses him to go into an animal body. And the guru is so compassionate that the guru actually does a stuti of Lord Shiva at that point. The guru feels bad that his disciple got, that is how spiritual gurus are. He himself was insulted by his own disciple, but when the Lord got angry and cursed this Kagbhushundi, the guru says a stuti in for Lord Shiva, and he asks for forgiveness and he says, oh Lord, please take your curse back. But a curse, when it is given, it cannot be taken back. It can only be modified. So Lord Shiva says, I cannot take it back, but I will give him the boon that even in an animal body, he will remember all the devotion, all his knowledge will remain in that animal body. And then he comes as a crow and he remembers everything and he repents. He realizes what mistake he had done and he recognizes his own true self to be that of the Lord. So because he recognized himself in the crow body, he asks Bhagwan, he asks Lord to constantly give him crow body only. He says, I don't want liberation. I want to be born again and again, and I want this body only, because this is the body in which I realized you. I realized my own self. And Kagbhushundi then becomes a great devotee of Balarama, small. And I'll be talking about that. So I'll talk about that a little later. So it is said that even today in near Manasarovar, Kagbhushundi is there and he does satsang with the other crows and he tells them Ramayana. That's how it is built. Tulsidasji says that Kalbhushan B still lives on because he never wanted. But so that is the thing about when it is said that through animal bodies they get liberation, they have done something in their previous births to deserve that. So that should not be always be remembered. Okay, so like Bhagavad Gita says, Bhagavan says, whatever you do in this birth, if you leave it halfway, you will pick up the thread. So it never gets lost. The spiritual practices do not get lost. We will continue with them in case we have not completed them in this life. Next, Guruji tells us that even if we remember the Lord out of hatred, jealousy, envy, anger, whatever, revenge, I want to take revenge. Even such people have been given liberation by the Lord because the Lord is only taking into consideration that he kept thinking about me all his life. Maybe it was out of hatred, out of jealousy, whatever negative qualities, the Lord says no, no matter what. So that's why we see Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, all Putana, Shishupal, everybody, whoever the Lord kills, they get moksha. They get liberated. But the point is that we must not say that, okay, then I'll just hate the... There's no beauty. There was no beauty in their life. Because when they have so much negative tendencies, you know, hate, fear. Ravana was living in fear all the time. But constantly remembering Sri Ram, but it was out of fear. So what kind of a life is that? Instead of that, if we can love the Lord, like how much more beautiful our life will be. So that's why even though, yes, you think of the Lord because of negative qualities, it is really not worth our while. But that is the compassion of Bhagwan, that Bhagwan will only see the remembrance part. He will not see the negative part out of hatred, jealousy, etc., etc. That's why Guruji says in verse 13 that if Lord is compassionate enough to give liberation to the people who hated him, what to talk about people who love him? What is he going to do for them, right? So that's what, and Bhagavad Gita Bhagwan has said, I become a servant of my devotee. I am a servant of my devotee. He doesn't say I'm a servant of the jnani. He is never a servant of the jnani, but he is a servant of the devotee. And that's what we see in Prahlad's life, because Prahlad, his father asks him, do you think your Lord is in this pillar? He says, yes, he is in the pillar. Therefore, Bhagwan says, I have to come out of the pillar. Because now this child has said, I'm in the pillar. Now I have to come out of the pillar. And he comes out of the pillar. Then Guruji in 14 has told us that karma and karma yoga has one result. And yoga, so hatha yoga has a result. So karma yoga gives only purification of mind. We have seen that many, many times. Karma has its limitations. It is finite. It will give a finite result. It cannot give an infinite result. And yoga is chitta vritti nirodha. So there is cessation of thought. Cessation of thought necessarily does not mean realization. Okay. So that's why he says that with bhakti, karma yoga also happens through bhakti. This thought, cessation of thought also happens through bhakti plus liberation. So that's why he says bhakti is special. Because karma, I told you, without bhakti, without love, karma cannot be converted into karma yoga. So that love is there already. And chitta vritti nirodha happens because the devotee is only thinking of the Lord. So there is no other vritti in his mind. There is no thought at all. That's why we have seen in chapter 12, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam. How can Dvesh arise in his mind, in a devotee's mind, whose mind is constantly thinking of his Ishta Devata? So these negative qualities can never. So automatic Chitta Vritti Nirodha, automatic Karma Yoga, because anybody who comes to him for help, even if he's not his friend or whatever, he is looking at him as Ishta Devata. So he says, oh my God, my Ishta Devata is asking for help. So he will help. And there will be no expectation of any kind of result or, you know, return, whatever. So that's why automatically he will be doing Karma Yoga without saying that it is Karma Yoga. A Karmi will say, I'm doing Karma Yoga, you know, but devotee will never say, he'll say, I'm working for my Lord. So that's why it's very automatic. And then he says that through knowledge we get the oneness, but through devotion we do not only get the oneness but also that beauty, that rasa is there in love. for devotees, a devotee never asks for liberation because he wants to maintain the duality so he can serve the Lord, love the Lord, all those things. But the Lord, you know, finally just grants him that oneness. So the devotee, all the devotee has to do is love the Lord. That's it. He doesn't even have to worry about anything else. The Lord will do everything for him and ultimately give him liberation as well. Okay, unless like Kagbushan says, no, I don't want liberation. I want to be in the crow body. I don't even want a human body. That's a different matter. Anyway, so we proceed now from 16. Bhavanando nubhuyeta bhaktairyasya rasatmakaha yogi bhirno palabheta sakhyadasya dirupakaha. The joy of a particular attitude of being a servant, friend, etc. of the Lord, which is experienced by devotees, is most delightful. Yogis do not experience it. In devotion, I told you, the duality is always maintained. When the duality is maintained, that the Lord is not separate. The highest devotee knows that the Lord is not separate, but in physical form, he maintains that duality. And when a duality is maintained, when there are two people, two things, anything two, there is a relationship. And that relationship is set by the devotee. He has the choice. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a brother of the Lord. I'm a sister. I am Draupadi. You know, she was a sister, mother, Yashoda. So the devotee has that choice to do whatever, and it's going to come. So that bhava that is there, it's very dry. You know, jnana, if you see, it's what form, no form, myself is the self in all. So it's very nirakar, nirgun, doesn't have any bhava. Now when we, you know, study more in chapter 13, no form, how you love anything like that? So not that there is no love, but it's that bhava is not there for you. This yogi, when he says yogi, karma yogi also included and jnana yogi also included in that. Okay. So these people who are going about it through jnana, then the bhava doesn't come. That emotion of devotion does not come. Whereas in devotion, the emotion has to be there. It will come because there is a form that I like. So I will appreciate the form. I will appreciate the leelas, whatever Bhagwan is doing or will do, etc., etc. So that sort of joy that is there, Guruji has meant the joy of Yashoda ji, as she mothered Sri Krishna. Imagine how a mother would feel when a little baby is, you know, crawling and walking and saying cute little things, etc., etc. Or even Kaushalya, you know, Sri Ram going around in the yard and all that. So that sort of thing, the yogis, because there is no form, they are worshipping the formless. So there is no form. There is nothing. There's just that dry intellectualism, whatever. So that is what Guruji is saying. And then he goes on to say, now knowledge, he's differentiating between knowledge and bhakti. Yatha devastatha bodho jnana yogasya lakshanam yatha bhavastatha devo bhakti yogasya lakshanam. As the God, so the knowledge is the characteristic of the yoga of knowledge. As the attitude, so the God is the characteristic of the yoga of devotion. The technical words for this is Purush Tantra and Vastu Tantra. In knowledge, it is Vastu Tantra. You know, we have heard the word Swatantra. Tantra is control. Swatantra means when I am in control of myself. Swatantra, it is under my control. So when we say Purusha Tantra, or when we say Vastu Tantra first, Vastu is the object. So the knowledge of a particular object has to be as per that object is. That is what is Vastu Tantra. Means the Vastu, that object, controls what kind of knowledge it should come in the mind of the seeker. So when I see Shivlinga, actually if it is Vastu Tantra, it is only a black stone. It's nothing but a black stone. Because why? The Vastu is controlling the knowledge. So if you analyze that black stone, you're not going to find God in there. You're going to find a black stone or Sphatika. what is that for Vishnu? That is also a stone. So that, so in knowledge, the object controls the type of knowledge. So therefore, when we have to know God through knowledge, you have to know him as Nirgun Nirakar. There is no choice. You don't have a choice there. You cannot know him as Ram and Krishna and form and this and that and all that. No, you have to know him as that. Whereas in bhakti, it is Purushatantra. Purushatantra means I control what I see. So I can just look at the computer and say, this is my Krishna. And I'm allowed that because it is in my control what I'm saying. So that is what it is. It is a deliberate superimposition. So when I say that this stone is a Shivlinga, this is Lord Shiva, and I'm going to worship this stone. Actually, it is a stone. It is allowed. It is a deliberate superimposition. This deliberate superimposition is required to go on to the Vastu Tantra. It is required. But in bhakti, you have the control. In knowledge, the object controls. So in knowledge, Brahman has to be understood as Nirgun Nirakar. Whereas in devotion, Brahman can be understood as Krishna, Rama, Devi, Shiva, whatever, you know, or in stone they put, they say this is Hanuman. Yeah, it's allowed. It's a stone actually, and you put orange color on it, it doesn't become Hanuman, but that is what it is. So in bhakti there is freedom. That freedom is there in bhakti, whereas in knowledge you do not have the freedom. That is what he's saying here. So yatha, as the God, so the knowledge. So as the God, so if I look at, Gurudev's picture here, actually Vastu Tantra is, you know what, it is paper and it is this orange color and then it is this color. That's all it is. But when I look at it and I say, no, it's Gurudev, my guru and all that, then that becomes Purush Tantra. It is up to me. Okay. That is the difference between knowledge and bhakti. Now he gives the expressions of devotion. Bhakti rekaiva tasyastu vividha abhivyaktayah bhaktanam ruchi bhedena bhava bhedena vatatha. Even though devotion is one alone, its expressions are many due to the differences in the attitudes and aptitudes of devotees. Because it is Purushatantra, because it is, I told you, the control is with the devotee. Now the devotee chooses, how he chooses to express his love is up to him. Love is expressed in many, many different ways. You know, there are some people who say they love them. Some people will do the work. Mothers, you know, we will do so much work for our children, right? That's an expression of love. We don't have, at least in India, that's what I was telling somebody. I don't think my mother ever said to me, I love you, throughout her life. Honestly, I don't remember it. But do you think I ever doubted her love for me? Because the things that she did for me, from her bhava, I can understand that she loved me, right? So because it is Purushatantra, the devotee has a choice. And in Narad Bhakti Sutra, that's what Guruji is going to be quoting from. He has given many, many ways in which devotees have worshipped the Lord. So there are many devotees, many, and because there are many devotees, there are many gods also, because, you know, we have all these different forms. In knowledge, there can be many seekers, but all of them will only be thinking of Nirgun Nirakar. Not in knowledge. See, those who are following the path, they could be 10 people. All 10 have to think exactly the same thing. They cannot think differently. Why? Because the control is in the object. The vastu is Nirgun Nirakar. Actually, vastu is Nirgun Nirakar. All, not 10, 100, 1000, whoever is following that path of jnana, they have to only think Nirgun Nirakar. Whereas in devotion, one is thinking this is Krishna, one is thinking this is Rama, one is thinking this is Devi, one is thinking this is this Hanuman, and this one, and that one, and that one, and that one. And that's the difference. So as per my aptitude, I can not only that, I'll tell you, like Krishna only, or if we take Kag Bhushundi, see, Kag Bhushundi was a devotee of Sri Rama, but he was a devotee only of Bal Rama. So that choice also the devotee has. So what he would do, what he does, it seems, I shouldn't say what he did. In every time when the yugas change and Sri Rama takes birth, or Vishnu takes avatar as Sri Rama, then for the first 5 years of Sri Rama's life, Kakbhushundi moves from his place in Manasarovar to Ayodhya. And he perches himself on a tree just outside the compound of the palace. And in the palace, Sri Ram knows that his devotee is there. So Sri Ram will be, you know, running around in the thing, and Kaushalya will be running after him, you know, trying to feed him. And he will purposely drop food on the floor. This is how it's described by Tulsi Das Ji in Tulsi Ramayan. He will purposely drop the food because he knows that Kakbhushundi is going to come and eat that. So he has left prasad for Kakbhushundi. He knows Kakbhushundi is sitting there. And this is how that devotion. So, and the minute 5 years are over, Kakbhushundi goes by. He's, I'm not interested. Now I'm not interested. 6 year old, 7 year old Sri Ram. No, I'm not. That is how devotion is. So in Krishna also, some are only Bal Krishna, only they worship. They don't worship anybody else. Then some of them, you know, when he was like tending the cows, and then some of them when he was telling the Bhagavad Gita. So in that also there is a, not only that you choose the form, but the age of that form also you decide. That is Purushtantra. That I am a devotee of Bal Krishna, Bala Krishna only. Once he grows, I am not a devotee of that. They say that. No. God, that. Forget that. Forget Bhagavad Gita and all that. Forget. Little baby Krishna is my Ishta Devata. So they will only go after baby Krishna. Only baby Rama. That way. That is the beauty. That is the beauty of it. Okay. So that's why he says, whatever the devotee's heart feels like, he expresses it that way. Now, puja yamanura gova katha dhyana japadishu ishwararpana buddhyava sarva karma nupalane. Some individuals have love for worship, listening to his stories, meditation or japa, etc. And others have love for doing all actions dedicated to God. Because it is Purusha Tantra, some people will go on worshipping. There was one of our Swamiji's had told us, there was one lady, one Amma, he will always say one Amma was there. Apparently, she was a bhakta of Shri Krishna. So she had a Krishna idol in her, puja room. And apparently she had a little toothbrush. So first thing in the morning, she will get up and she'll brush his teeth. Little toothbrush. Then a little cup of tea. Then bathe him. Then dress him up. Then, you know, do puja. Like the whole morning she will do as if it's, you know, it's there. So beautiful. Now see, that sort of bhava doesn't come in. No. Meditation. So some people spend hours and hours in doing puja. They will do all the shodashopachara, you know, all the 16 steps in the puja. And they revel in it. They enjoy that very much. Then listening to his story. So some people love to listen to. I have a friend here who is not interested in knowledge or anything. Every time I meet her, she tells me, just tell me stories of whatever, you know, Bhagwan stories, right? So they like to listen. They may not spend time in doing puja, but they like to listen to the stories. And then some are meditating and they meditate on form. Here when a devotee meditates, he meditates on the form of Bhagwan, that's one, or on the leelas that what Bhagwan did. Surdasji apparently would meditate on the leelas and he was blind. Surdasji, if you know, the devotee was blind, but apparently Bhagwan, Krishna showed him all his leelas. Actually, he saw Bhagwan doing those leelas. So that is the compassion of Bhagwan. When the devotee is meditating constantly on the leelas of, so because there are so many aspects of Bhagwan, right? So you take any aspect, it's in your control. So Surdasji, because he was, constantly meditating on the leelas that Bhagwan has done in his childhood in Vrindavan, Bhagwan actually showed him everything. He could see everything, it seems. He saw everything, actually. Vedantic meditation is aham brahmasmi. finish. No form, no leela, no nothing, nothing. There is no variety in this. Oh, but here, leelas, or they will keep the idol in front of them and then they start from the feet. Ahaha, what beautiful feet. Ahaha, what beautiful this. Ahaha, look at this, how shapely his waist is. Ahaha, aha. Like that, they will meditate on the full form. It's Purushitantra, right? Control. You have control. That is what this is. Or then they will do actions, Ishwar Arpan Buddhya. So automatic karma yoga here. Because every work that they do, they're saying, I'm doing it for my Lord. I'm doing it for my Lord. That's it. You know, they just do whatever work, how much of a work is there, they will do it for the Lord. And then all of love doing for actions dedicated to God. So all the actions. Janabai, there is a saint in from Maharashtra. Her name was Janabai. She was a servant lady. So she, you know how they, I told you, the cow dung they make and they put it on the wall, you know, those things. Every time she would, you know, throw that thing, she would say, Vittal. She would say, Vittal. And it is said that in she was, you know, lower caste, so she was not allowed to go into the temple. That cow dung, people would see it on the face of Bhagwan Vittal in the temple. Because she would say, Vittal, you know, with everything, Vittal, Vittal. That's how devotees are. They have nothing, no other thing other than their Ishta Devata. Vittal is also a avatar of Bhagwan Vishnu. Huh? Vittal and Rukmini are in Pandharpur. That is their destiny. So, different ways that the devotee will express his love for Bhagwan in, and he's allowed, he or she's allowed to do whatever relationship, like say we see Mirabai setting up a relationship for husband and wife, beloved, Draupadi's sisters, Arjun friend, so whatever relationship, Hanuman's servant, you know, Hanuman's relationship with Sri Ram was of sort of a servant. Kechit bhajanti sarvesham dasya bhavena sarvada anne sakhena putrena kanta bhavena vapunaha. Some devotees always worship God with the attitude of being his servant, Hanumanji, I told you. While others serve him as a friend, Arjun. Arjun was a friend. Uddhav was a friend of Bhagwan. Sudama was a friend. Sudama's story is very famous. Okay. Are you familiar? Is everybody okay? No? You want to? Would you like to listen? Prem Sai? Would you like to listen? Okay. Okay. Because I don't want, you know, people to get bored. I can tell you many stories. I know many. Okay. So Sudama and Bhagwan Krishna. Bhagwan Krishna and Balram, the two brothers, studied under Rishi Sandipani. The temple is still there in Ujjain. I went and saw it. And there, Sudama was there. Sudama was also studying with them. And he was a child of a very poor Brahmin. But he became a friend of Bhagwan Shri Krishna. So they were friends. When they grew up, then Bhagwan went his way, Sudama went his way. And Sudama would always talk to his wife about his friendship with Shri Krishna. And Bhagwan was king na that time, Dwarka. In Dwarka he had become king. So this wife, because so much poverty, you know, so she said, you know, why don't you go, and he's your friend, you just keep telling me, you know, this friend, why don't you please go and ask him for just little food, you know, just basic necessities of life, you can ask him. And Sudama would always, he said, no, he's my friend. I don't want to go and ask him. Anyway, one day she said, no, there's no food at all. We are so poor, this, that. So Sudama goes to Dwarka. And he goes there and Bhagwan is so happy to see him. He actually washes Sudama's feet because he says, Atithi Devo Bhava. You are a guest in my house. So literally he washes Sudama's feet. He calls Rukmini. He says, no, this is my friend. Now wash his feet. So both of them, husband, wife, they wash his feet. They put him on an asan. They feed him this, that. Then Sudama, you know, he feels awkward. Okay. So actually when he goes, he has to take something now for his friend. He should take something. So he only has this puffed rice. poha. He was so poor, he had nothing. So his wife said, this is all we have, you take this. So he just takes little bit also, that too, not so much. So little bit he takes. He says, Bhagwan, this thing. And Bhagwan eats and he says, oh my God, I've never tasted such tasty poha, Bhagwan says. And Bhagwan washes his feet and this thing. When all that happens, Sudama feels very awkward. He says, Bhagwan has given me so much respect, so much love. I must not ask him. He doesn't ask him anything for what he had come here. But Bhagwan is Bhagwan, right? Bhagwan knows, no? So Sudama doesn't say anything. He says, no, I just came to visit you. You're my childhood friend, etc. When he goes back, he's like, where's my house? I mean, where's my heart? There's no heart here. So he's like, what happened to my house? Then his wife comes, there's a palace there. And his wife comes running out and she says, wow, your friend has given us all this. He says, really? Because I never asked. She says, what did you ask for? She says, you asked for this big house? Like, so I didn't ask you, tell you to ask for such a big palace and all that. He says, no, I didn't ask for anything. I did not open my mouth because this is how Bhagwan treated me, with such great care and love and, respect. Like, he washed my feet. Bhagwan washed my feet. So he says, you know what? He knew. So it was all ready for him. That is the story of Sudama. Sudama was his friend, childhood friend. So many stories are there. So many. It's like, we could just, whole summer will go in stories only. But anyway, so Sugriv was a friend. Guruji has given this. So we know Hanumanji, we know Mirabai. If I were to tell you Marathi saints of Vitthal, I told you Vitthal Bhagwan. So there are a lot of this thing. So you set up a relationship. A relationship is set up because there is duality. And that duality allows you to set up a relationship, and it is up to you what relationship you want to set. I know a friend of mine, she's a Bal Krishna devotee. And one gentleman came to Guruji and told him that Ram is my son. I can order Sri Ram. When you say he's a son, then that's it. He says, I'm the father of Rama. That is the relationship he had set up with the Lord. Okay, so that is allowed. Now, Bhakti Sadhanani, the 22 and 23, and here's where we see Prahlad. I'm going to read both these together because I actually, So, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyamatmani Vedanam. Listening to the glories of Lord Vishnu, singing, remembering, serving, worshipping, saluting the Lord, being his servant, his friend, and offering oneself at his feet. Iti bhagavate skande saptame proktavan sudihi prahlada sadhanam bhaktehe hiranyakashipum prati. These are the nine means of devotion that were described by the wise Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu, as seen in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavata. So, would you like to listen to the story of Prahlad? Okay. Because I would also like to tell.
Jayaji, you missed verse 21.
Did I? I'm so sorry. Okay, let's go back. Sorry. Yair yair bhavescha ye bhaktaha bhajanti parameshwaram satathaivanugrinnati bhaktan karunikeshwarah. With whatever attitudes devotees worship God, that compassionate Lord blesses them in the same way. So because an attitude has set up, so if you set up an attitude of friend, he will be your friend. He will mirror your emotion. Generally, even in the world, we find that now, if we smile, if I smile at somebody, then the person smiles at me. Generally, our mind is like a mirror, So same way Bhagwan is. If you set up a relationship of son, then he will become like a son. If you set up a relationship of servant, he will become master and servant. So he will mirror your emotion. That is what is being said here. So whichever way you choose to worship the Lord, choose to serve the Lord will come like that. He will not say, no. You know, therefore, Mirabai, he became a husband for Mirabai. For Draupadi, he became a brother. For Arjun, he became a friend. For Hanuman, he was a master. You know, all these relationships, this is whatever that you... So, because, see, this the beauty is, this Purusha Tantra is the beauty there. The control is all in the hands of the devotee. He controls, she controls, the devotee controls. So whatever you say, Bhagwan will mirror that. That's what it is. All right. So the next are the means of devotion. So Prahlad's story is very, very beautiful. Prahlad is the son of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu, the story of Hiranyakashipu is in Vaikuntha Lok. Vaikuntha Lok is the abode of Vishnu. There were two guards. Do you know how you have the guards at the gates? It's Jay and Vijay. Their names were Jay and Vijay. So they were the guards of Bhagwan Vishnu, but even the guards, sometimes they also get arrogant. That's the downfall of ego. And that is another thing of devotion. A devotee, there is no ego, because the ego is constantly being surrendered to the Lord. Whereas in knowledge or karma, that ego can come. I know so much, or I'm doing so much. So anyway, Jay Vijay were the guards. And one day, the Sanat Kumaras, who are the sons of Brahmaji, there are four sons, they come to Vaikuntha Loka, right, to meet Bhagwan Vishnu. And Jay and Vijay, in their arrogance, they're like, who are you? We're not going to let you in. Sanat Kumaras, Brahma, they get mad, they curse Jay and Vijay. And then Jay and Vijay, they come to their senses. They say, oh my God, what did we do? We insulted, you know, the Brahma Kumaras we have insulted. So they ask for forgiveness. They said, oh Lord, please, 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 we made a mistake. It was our fault. Please forgive us. And I told you, the curse can never be taken back. It is always like that in the scriptures. But the curse can be modified. So the curse was, they said, you both brothers will take birth in three different yugas. And every yuga, Bhagwan will kill you and give you liberation. And after you have lived those three lives, you will come back as Jay and Vijay and be seated again in your position of guard. So Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were the first pair of brothers that Jay and Vijay came as. This Hiranyaksha was killed by the Varaha Avatar. In Varaha Avatar, when Vishnu, Bhagwan Vishnu takes, one of his Dasha Avatars is this Varaha, the boar. Hiranyaksha, he takes the earth and he submerges it into the ocean. So this Vishnu Bhagwan takes the form of a boar and kills him. And so that is one. And his brother is Hiranyakashipu. The other pair is Ravana and Kumbhakarna. That is another pair that Sri Ram kills. And then the third pair is Shishupala and Dantavakra. So that is Bhagwan Shri Krishna kills them, both of them, right? So this is how they undergo their curse and they go back as Jay and Vijay. Now, Hiranyakashipu, I told Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, this was their first birth. They are Jay and Vijay, but they are born as asuras. This asura word must be understood correctly. There is a word called sura and then there is a word called asura. Asura, sura is Dev, divine, good. Asura is bad. And generally people mistake this word asura for like a rakshasa. So, you know, like ugly and all that kind of thing. That is not the meaning. Asusu ramante iti asura. That is the break of that word. So asura means one who considers himself or herself to be the body. So with that definition, there are a lot of asuras who are very beautiful, very handsome looking in this world today, because they are very much identified with the body, mind, intellect, equipment. So that is what an asura is. People think asura is a rakshasa. It's not a rakshasa. It is this. So Hiranyakashipu was born as an asura, and he had the arrogance to think that he was God. He didn't want to die, so he does ghor tapas. He does a lot of tapas. He pleases Brahmaji And Brahmaji says, okay, you have done so much tapas, you have meditated upon me. Asuras will meditate upon the Lord, but then the powers they will use for wrong purposes. Ravana also did the same thing. Ravana did tapas to Bhagwan Vishnu. He was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. That's why I'm saying Asura means Rakshas. No, they're so much identified with the body that they will pray to God, but whatever power they will get, it will be misused. It will not be used for the right reasons. So Hiranyakashipu, when Brahmaji became very pleased with him and asked him to ask for a boon, he said, I should never die. That is the boon that I want, that I should never die. So Brahmaji said, you know, please, whoever is born has to die. That I cannot give you. Sorry, I'm not in my power. So he thought, he said, okay, you can't give me this boon. No, Brahmaji said, no. No matter what tapas you do and what you have done, I cannot give you that boon. You ask for something else. He said, okay, then I ask for a boon that I cannot be killed by a human being or an animal. I cannot be killed during the day or during the night. I cannot be killed inside the house or outside the house. I cannot be, like, huge amount of conditions. This. And Brahmaji has no choice. Brahmaji says, Tathastu. So now he cannot be killed by a human, nor can he be killed by an animal. He cannot be killed inside the house. He cannot be killed outside. He cannot be killed by any weapon. He says, no weapon can kill me. Tathastu. So he cannot be killed by any weapon. He cannot be killed during the daytime, or he cannot be killed during the nighttime, because he said, I cannot be killed in these times. So time, place, all he specifies. And he thinks he has become immortal because, you know, now who can touch him? And he rains terror on the devas, on the suras, you know, same like what Ravana did. So he rains. But in his wife's womb, his son, his wife, when she gets pregnant, Narad Bhagwan comes and takes her to his ashram. Narad Bhagwan is an emissary of the Lord. He's the greatest, one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. Prahladji is considered as even a greater devotee, because the devas, when they were asked, who do you think is the greatest devotee? They said Prahlad. They didn't say Narad Bhagwan. They said Prahlad. So anyway, so this mother of Prahlad, when she was pregnant, Naradji takes her. And every day he gives her satsang. He tells her about Bhagwan Vishnu. He tells her about devotion. And all those things Prahlad is listening to in the womb. So when he takes birth, he becomes a great devotee of the Lord. Already at birth, he's because already that knowledge has been given to him. So he comes home then after delivery. She comes home. And Hiranyakashipu has destroyed all the Vishnu temples in his whatever kingdom. And in all the temples, it was his idols. So everybody worshipped him because he had no death. He thought there's not going to be any death for me, right? So all the this thing. And all the teachers, the Gurukul, you know, so the teachers were told what to teach the students, that Vishnu is not God. Hiranyakashipu is God. So all this, his own philosophy, he had told the teachers. And the teachers, they were so scared because, you know, they would kill them. So they were teaching that to the children. And Prahlad also was sent to that school. So fine. So in the holidays, Prahlad comes home and, hi, daddy. Hello, how are you? I'm fine, son. What did you learn? He says, I learned that Bhagwan Vishnu is the greatest God. Hiranyakashipu is shocked. He said, what? Call the teachers. So the teachers are shivering. They said, my God, he says, who taught him about Vishnu? How does he even know about? What are you doing? What are you teaching? Did I not tell you to tell him like this? They say, no, sir, we have not uttered the word Vishnu. We don't know where he's come. This thing, this knowledge has come. We don't know. Please don't kill us because we have not. So I said, okay, another 6 months, another semester, I'll send him back to school. Prahlad, what he was doing was, in the lunch break, he would gather all his little friends and he would tell them stories of Bhagavan Vishnu, because in class he couldn't speak. Class teacher is there, no? And teacher, and then in lunchtime he will tell, don't listen to them. They're not right. My father is not God. God is only Bhagavan Vishnu. You must only this thing, this thing, this thing. Fine. Another 6 months go by. After 1 year, Prahlad comes back. Yes, child, what have you learned? He gives this answer. This Shravanam, he says, I have learned that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, remembering Vishnu, Padasevanam, to, you know, worship his feet, Archanam, Vandanam, all these things. This is how devotion is to be developed to Lord Vishnu. Finish. Hiranyakashipu is like, kill him right now. I cannot, this is unacceptable. So they say, they take him to the top of the cliff, they throw him from the cliff. He says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nothing happens here. He says, oh, he didn't die. No, put him into fire. That Holika, Hiranyakashipu's sister is Holika. She's like made out of fire. So she sits on the funeral, on that pyre. They make a wood thing and then she sits on there and she takes Prahlad in her lap and she creates fire because that's how she could do. She, you know. But in that fire, she gets burned and Prahlad comes out smiling. Fire also cannot be seen. Then Hiranyakashipu, now he's alarmed. He says, what is going on, you know? So he says, what are you talking? How can it be this, that, everything? Then he gets angry. He says, what do you say? Bhagwan is everywhere. Lord is everywhere. Is he in the pillar? He says, yeah, he's in the pillar. And then the pillar opens up. And Narsimh Bhagwan comes up. So this Narsimh Bhagwan is half lion, half man, because man cannot kill him and animal cannot kill him. So it has to be half and half. So it was half, top portion was lion, bottom portion was human. Then the time was twilight, because he cannot be killed during the day, he cannot be killed during the night. So it was exactly twilight. Then he cannot be, and also another thing he had said, I cannot be killed in the skies and I cannot be killed on the ground. And I cannot be killed inside and outside. So Narsimh Bhagwan sits on the threshold of the door. He sits there because he cannot kill him inside. He cannot kill him outside. And twilight. And he keeps him on his lap because he cannot be killed on the ground. He cannot be killed in the sky. So he puts him on his lap and he cannot be killed by any weapons. So he has his nails. Claws, you know, lion claws. With that, he tears open his stomach. That is the story of Bhagwan, Narsimh Bhagwan. And he is so angry. All these devas, Brahmaji, Indra, Varuna, all these devas, you know, they were so scared of Hiranyakashipu. So when they see this, they shower flowers on him and they come and they are all shivering now because he is breathing so heavily, so huge. He's sitting there and everybody's shivering and he's like angry, right? So they say, we to cannot go near him because we are so scared. They call Lakshmi Devi. She goes, are you kidding me? It's my husband, but I am not going near him. He's angry. No. Even if he touches me, you know, his claws will scratch my delicate skin. There's no way I'm going. And then they say, Prahlad, I think you're the only one that can calm him down. Brahmaji tells Prahlad. And then Prahlad sings the stuti, which Guruji is now explaining to us. That is what Prahlad stuti is. So Prahlad is considered as one of the greatest devotees. And even though born in an Asura family, he was always devoted to Bhagwan Vishnu. But that was because of Naradji. That is the story of Prahlad. Okay? 8-year-old boy. He was only 8 years old. Not this thing. The grandson of Prahlad is Raja Bali. Raja Bali, where Bhagwan comes as Vamana, that is Raja Bali. That is his grandson, Prahlad's grandson. Okay. Now, here, Shravanam Kirtanam, Shravanam with the ears. The means Guruji has explained very well. So, you first listen Shravanam by the ears. Then Kirtanam is speech. So, you listen to the glories of the Lord and then you tell the glories of the Lord. Smaranam is by the mind, right? In your memory, you think. Padasevanam is body. This is, bhakti is through all the instruments that we have. The instruments we have is body, speech, mind, ears, eyes, etc. So Padasevanam is with body because you're washing his feet. Archanam is puja, doing puja. So that is also by body. Vandanam, when your heart melts in love, ego is dissipated, ego is negated. See, spiritual knowledge, there is usually when we study anything, when we get knowledge, it is through the intellect, right? Any material, we go to college, school, everything we study, it is through the intellect. With spiritual knowledge, intellectual knowledge, if you only get, it'll be information only. Spiritual knowledge has to enter through the heart. Even in Jnana Marga, through the heart. So the heart, because it heart can be made soft and pliable, the knowledge will, which enters through the heart, will be more absorbed more. Otherwise, what happens is when it is only absorbed through the intellect, it gives ego. It can give ego. It gives ego. So when the heart is melted in love, that ego is surrendered. And that's when you get the knowledge, it will stick with you. It'll stay with you. Because the ego is the main thing between us and Bhagwan. Is the only thing between us and Bhagwan. Let's put it that way. And that ego becomes very thinned when the heart melts in love. Because the heart melts. Now, love is through the heart. It is not through the intellect. You don't, you know, through you fall, you just fall in love with somebody, right? So Vandanam is for this thing. Dasyam is servant. When I say I'm a servant of the Lord, we've seen this in the principles of Karma Yoga also, that I do this as an instrument of the Lord, as a servant of the Lord, it becomes Karma Yoga. It takes care of the ego. All these things are taking care of the ego. And Sakhyam. So I may say I'm a servant of the Lord, but the Lord will say he's my friend. Lord doesn't need a servant. I can say, Hanumanji said, but Bhagwan treated him as a friend and Sitaji called him her son. When he goes to Lanka and meets up with Sitaji first time, she says, Putra, she says, you're my son. And then Sri Ram, you know, because the mother knows her son before the father knows. Mother gives birth, right? So she says, you're my son. So he's, Hanumanji is saying, I'm your servant, but Sitaji is saying, you're my son. So this is how Bhagwan will do. You will say you're servant, Bhagwan will become your friend. These are the ways. Now, again, as usual, I'm reading this Bhagavat of Guruji's. And just yesterday, I came across this portion and I thought, whoa, I must read this to you guys. So this is Shaunak Rishi. There are many, you know, Guru Shishas in there. Now, he's talking about devotion because Bhagavat Purana, as you know, is about devotion and about the devotee. It's all about devotion, devotion, devotion. Okay. And the devotee. Now, man's entire life should be centered solely on God. To indicate the vital import of this point, Shaunakji continued, the ears that do not hear the glories of the Lord are like snake pits. Snake pits, you know, words are going in, there's no meaning to them. The tongue that does not sing the glories of the Lord is like a frog's tongue that keeps croaking in vain. One may be a king of high repute, but if his head does not bow down at the Lord's feet, the crown on his head is mere weight. The hands that do not worship God are as good as the hands of a corpse or a ghost, even if they are adorned with many ornaments. The eyes that do not look at the forms or symbols of the Lord are like the eyes on a peacock feather. You know, peacock feather, we say eyes, right? Are they any good? No good. This is the eyes. And the feet that do not walk to go and see the Lord are as good as trees which cannot move. Bhakti. Every text has its own purpose. So when you read a bhakti text, they will glorify bhakti. Narad Bhakti Sutra is there, or Bhakti Sudha is there, right? So that is from Bhagavat Puran. And that is about Prahlad, his story. This is what Prahlad, what Guruji has written in verse 22, exactly that he said to his father Hiranyakashipu. When he was asked, what did you learn in school? This is what I learned, he said. He learned on his own. We'll stop here. Are there any questions or anybody wants to say anything?
Which page is that one you were just you read?
Oh, that is page number. You have this book now. 139.
You know, I just have one comment.
Yeah.
You know, it looked as though the divine will has happened that you took up this Bhakti Sudham, and you also, I happened to hear the Gurudev's Prahala Charitra, and you just took, you know, you were in the discussion of the Bhakti Yoga, and I said, what a divine thing that manifested itself. Oh, I'm so grateful to you.
Not to me, my guru, because that's what I always feel. Like, what a coincidence that I'm going to be doing these verses and yesterday, because I'm reading that book on a daily basis. And this is not the first time this has happened to me. I'll be honest with you. I'm doing something and then I'm reading and I'm like, that's connected to that. I've taken it to my Saturday class also. And even in the Upanishad, I have read things from Bhagavad. Because there's that connection, you know, and it's not that I'm going into Bhagavad looking for a connection. I'm not looking. That's why, no, it's, my guru is right here, Tejo Menonji. So, that is grace. That is grace. I believe it.
I definitely,
hello.
We all believe in that one. Definitely. You know, especially the way that you explain, and I hear that, and I take up that book in the night. Oh, it's so beautiful, so beautiful.
Any questions?
Hello, Jayaji. I have a question.
Yes.
You said that...
You can turn your video on, Mohini, right?
You're talking. Oh, yes, sorry. Okay. You said that for knowledge, we do not necessarily need devotion.
No. Not necessarily, not need. See, devotion means in the form of love. If you don't have love for that knowledge, will you even take it up?
That's what I was trying to get to.
No. I've not said that. No. If I've said it, no, that's not right. I also, last time I told you that you have many soaps, but water is always required. That's why even karma, to go to karma yoga, love is required. We may not use the word devotion, but love is definitely required. For knowledge, I have to love that topic. No, otherwise, why would I go into it? See, when you love something, you want to know more about it, right? But if I know something, I know the prime minister or the of the country or CEO of my company where I work. It doesn't mean I would love him or her. But if I fall in love with the CEO, then I want to know more about the CEO or the prime minister. If I fall in love with somebody, I want to know more about that person. But I may know so many people, doesn't mean I'm going to love everybody. So no, it is required. Love is required. But devotion has its own Guruji saying. Any questions?
The second thing that you said is Raja, that the Asuras definition was that these people identified themselves with body, mind and etc., just like we do these days.
That's what I said, the Asuras, yeah. Yeah.
So that means that the pictures or the explanations we have been given about these asuras in books, that they were with horns, they were with teeth, they were with claws and big body and blah, blah. Just looks like Putnakamchi comes in a very fearful appearance. Or even Ravana, when they show him, they burn him, he's the tallest with, you know, all those things. So that is just imagination then.
That is Purusha Tantra. That is how I imagine it to be. But if you were to take, I told you, Purusha Tantra and Vastu Tantra, there are two things. This Asura word, if you were to understand it as Vastu Tantra, as the bird, Asusu Ramante Iti Asura. Asusu is pranas, by the way. Asusu is the breath. So the ones who ramante, who revel in the pranas means what? Body. Why do I need the pranas? It's to maintain my body. So the one who revels in the body means one who is extremely identified with the body, and body includes mind and intellect, is an asura. But a representation is now dependent on me. So I can put whatever I want to put, you know, like I told you, in when we talk about Shivling, actually it is stone only. It is not Shivji. If you want to understand Shivji as Shivji, you need to understand him in his Nirguna Nirakar Rupa. But devotion allows it.
It's kind of Star Trek, where they show different creatures, you know. So,
Mr. Spock.
So it's from the very childhood, you are given these pictures and it distorts your thinking in a way.
No, in childhood, there is one way of explaining things. But as we grow, and that's why we come in touch with a guru and, you know, and we come to know, then we should understand the correct things. Now, you can still think of Asura as a giant, you know, and ugly and all that. And Devas is beautiful. You can always imagine what is there.
So we, most of us are asuras these days.
If you're identified with your body, mind and intellect, you are. I'm sorry.
That's what we are.
That's what we're trying to do. We're saying disidentify from the body. That's all I'm telling, you know. Don't consider yourself as the body. You may not know that you are that supreme being. That's okay. No problem. But do not consider yourself as the body. Body is only filth. If you do Vastu Tantra to the body, if you remove the skin, there's doctor there. Anybody would look at me, Nitya, without my skin? You see her saying no? Nobody would look at us. Nobody. Thank God, God has given us this skin. So we hide all the ugliness inside.
Jayaji, I find it very confusing. Very, very confusing. Like you just said, just a few seconds ago, you said we shouldn't have identified with the body, but in devotion, it's duality, so you have to identify with the body. So that I find it very confusing.
Yeah, because in the path of devotion, that's why in chapter 12, what did Bhagwan say? Nirguna Nirakar is difficult for the one who is embodied. I am not the body is Vastu Tantra, is knowledge. That is what Vastu Tantra, if you want to know the body as is, it is only filth. It is only filth. I superimpose myself. I'm beautiful. I've got a nice skin. I've got a nice this, that, etc. So that is the difference. And if the person is devoted, please remember, he may be identified with his body, but he is using that body only to serve the Lord. He's using his speech only to talk about God. He's using his ears only to listen about God. So his entire being is being used only for God. Whereas we are identified with the body and all my attention is how many facials should I have, facelift should I have, hair color, this, that. There's a huge difference between a devotee identifying with his body and an ordinary person identifying. That's why we say don't identify with the body that much. If you want to identify, then you reach that stage of devotion where every inch of your body is saying Ram, Ram. Arjun, when he was sleeping, it seems he was breathing, Krishna, 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 Krishna was coming. Are you at that level? If you are at that level, sure, identify with the body. We are not at that level and we are not at, you know, this level. So we are identifying and we are in between ignorant. There's no confusion. There's no confusion. No. Devotion versus knowledge. Then you be that highest devotee. Can you be the highest devotee? Sure, go ahead, identify with the body. What is there? You're identified with the body. Your Lord is identified with the body. But your body is not being used for anything else other than praise of the Lord. Service of the Lord. And it's okay. And it's okay. But we are neither here nor there. That is our problem.
Raji, I have a question.
Yeah.
Verse 19 was talking about Shravanam as as a manifestation of devotion.
Hmm.
Shravanam alone, if somebody is listening to the glories of the Lord, the kirtans and all that, does that alone, you know, is that alone enough to be a devotee, someone who revels and enjoys in just listening to?
Yes. Yes, that is why this is given. If you read Narad Bhakti, I've done Narad Bhakti Sutra with you guys. There are some people who only like to listen to stories of the Lord. See, when you're constantly listening to the stories, your mind will revel in the stories, na? Ultimately where the mind is, right? Or if you're constantly talking, that's why, you know, when grandmothers constantly talk of the grandchildren, that means their mind is reveling in the grandchildren, right? So if the devotee is constantly talking, so it's, yeah, that's fine. Or then constantly you're doing puja, right? So that's okay. If you're constantly doing only listening to gods, that's why I'm saying identification with the body. If you can do that, then yeah, you'll be identified with the body. It's okay. But we don't do that. Do we do that 24/7? Like the devotees, study the read the lives of devotees, even from there was a Muslim devotee who said Allah is I am Allah, he said, and the king said this is blasphemous, like how can you say that you are Allah? Advaita he was talking about, right? So he was flogged in the public market. He was flogged and he kept on, no matter how much they beat him, he kept on saying I am Allah, I am aham brahmasmi in Urdu, I am Allah, I am Allah. Ultimately, he became unconscious because of the flogging. Then from the droplets of blood started saying, I am aham brahmasmi. Blood from because the blood was flowing out of his body. He was flogged that much. Then the king realized, oh my God, what have I done? Because if his blood is saying that, this story, this is, you know, I've read this. That's why this reading of these stories of the devotees is very essential. Because what is theory in knowledge? You see the practical aspect of it in the lives of saints. So even from his blood, like I said, Arjun also, when he was sleeping, apparently people could hear Krishna, Krishna, Krishna in his breathing. So that's why in that circumstance, identification body is okay. Okay, because my body is nothing but meant for the service of the Lord. So that's what happens in high devotion. Therefore, that's why I told you, highest state, devotion and knowledge are one. All the devotees that I have talked about, Prahlad. Now, Prahlad Stuti, complete Advaita Vedanta he's giving out. Hanumanji. Hanumanji was asked, na? Shri Ram asked him, what is your relationship with me? He said, as a body, I'm your servant. As the mind, I'm your devotee. But from the highest sense, I'm you. That's what he said. He said, you and I are not different. But when I identify with my body, I will consider myself as your servant. So that knowledge, all the devotees that we talk about, they have the knowledge, but they don't want to show it. They say that is too dry. What, you and I are one? No. You remain separate so that I can love you, I can serve you, I can do this, that, etc., etc., etc. That's how it is.
Yeah, just one more question.
Yeah.
Knowledge, in the path of knowledge, we don't want to identify with the body, but we do need the body to, you know, take us to that goal.
Correct.
We take care of the body. We do need the body. So if we don't consider ourselves as at least that this body belongs to us, we are not going to take care of it, right? What is the incentive to take care of the body?
No. You have to take care of the body as your vehicle. See, you have a car, right? Don't you get it gassed up, tuned up, little bit here, there. You're like, oh my God, what's happening, right? Why? Because you need that vehicle. You need it. So body should be treated as a vehicle. I need this vehicle to reach God. And that is why that's why I said, what is the attitude? You know, am I taking care of my body so that I can look young and people say you look like a film actress and you don't look your age? Because that is only inside you will know. Now you yourself... Or you're taking care of your body so that you can serve, you know, or you can teach. If my body is not healthy, if I have problems with my throat, how can I talk? So for that, I will take care of my body. Now, people might think that she's taking care of body, but I know it. That's why it's self-analysis. In my mind, I know why I'm taking care of the body. That you must do. Just because, you know, but I need the body doesn't mean I am the body.
I get it.
Need yeah. and am is different. I'm not the car. Am I not taking care of my car, my house? But am I that? Am I the house? Am I the car? No. That you should be formally established in.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any questions? We shall meet next time.
A basic question. When we talk about prana, So prana comes in gross body or subtle body?
Subtle.
Subtle. Because we have five pranas, right? So all subtle?
All subtle. All subtle.
I always get mixed up.
Gross body is only the annamaya kosha. The annamaya kosha. Then there is the pranamaya kosha. So pranamaya kosha, manomaya and vijnanamaya fall under subtle body. Gurudev and Bhagwan Shankaracharya have called them as subtle body. There are some masters who categorize the pranamaya kosha as the gross body, but Gurudev has not done it and Bhagwan Shankaracharya has not done it. So we stay with subtle because some people say you can feel the breath here now. That's why they say it's gross, but it's subtle also. We don't see the pranas, right? We don't see them like that.
Yeah. So it's subtle.
Subtle. Pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, subtle. And vasana level, causal body. And annamaya kosha is gross body. Stay with that. Just stay. Then there's no confusion, you know.
Confusion. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. We'll meet next time. And I was going to say that you can start picking verses. Next time, I think we are on 24 and how many verses are there? 20s. Oh yeah, we should be able to finish. There is 31 and the last verse is missing. So we will complete the text next time. And so all of you this time, everybody, whoever has listened to this text, not just the Calgary people, but everybody can choose a verse and just let Abhimanyu know. So if Padmaja, you wanted, can you keep the thing? Can you keep the list? So if you guys can tell Padmaja which verse, you pick the verse that you like the most. That way, you know, pick one verse each. And then if there are remaining, then they can be taken on again. Okay. All right. Om swasti prajabhyav paripalayantam nyayena margena mahim mahishaha go brahmanebhya shubhamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyah prithvi sasya shalini desho yam kshobarahitah brahmana santu nirbhayah om sarvesham swasti bhavatu sarvesham shantir bhavatu sarvesham purnam bhavatu sarvesham mangalam bhavatu sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayaha sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kashchit dukkhabhag bhavet om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamaya om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avashishyate om shanti shanti shantihi harih om shri gurubhyo namaha Hari Om. See you next time.
Yeah.